Praise the Lord. It's time to look to the Word tonight. Message title, The Heavenly Vision. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Many translations say, Sir. Who are you, sir? Paul wasn't expecting Jesus to talk to him. He didn't believe in Jesus as Messiah. Jesus was some imposter, some false messianic claimant. But he knew he was having a heavenly encounter, an angel, some angelic messenger. Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The first two questions of a born-again life. Who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. Jesus is Lord, and you are not, and I am not. Jesus is Lord. We answer that. And then, Lord, what do you want me to do? Acts 26. Paul is giving testimony. Approximately 30 years later, of that Damascus Road experience. He said, At midday, O King, along the road I saw light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I'm trying to move you down the path of salvation and righteousness. But you're so resisting, Paul, Saul. So I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. There are many things that Jesus still wants to reveal to us. Spirit of expectation, faith, what God's going to do in our lives and through our lives, the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, said Jesus. And Paul said, Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. The heavenly vision is a vision of Jesus and his call upon our life. That's the heavenly vision. A revelation of Jesus and what he wants us to do in this life, in this world. Thank God for the heavenly vision. Without it, our lives would be dull, uninviting, empty, human. No true meaning, no eternal value, But because we have the heavenly vision, our life rises into another dimension. Thank God for a heavenly vision tonight. Like Paul, we're going to look at it in a moment and see what it means to our life and how we are to be engaged with it. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, it's literally where there is no prophetic vision, where there's no living vision, where there's no living utterance of God, no living reality of Jesus in the heart, of God's call and ministry on our life and what he's expecting of us. If we don't have that, the Bible says the people perish. They cast off restraint. They begin to dwell carelessly. They fall off spiritually. Their zeal diminishes. They fall off from keeping the law of Christ and the standards of the Lord. We need a heavenly vision. We need that call of God to burn in our hearts like the Apostle Paul. And if it's dim, that we renew it. Maybe the heavenly vision tonight has dimmed in your spirit and in your soul. Trust the Holy Spirit to revive it tonight. Maybe the light brighter than the noonday sun is setting a little bit. Well, tonight, remember the glorious Damascus Road conversion that you received and how Jesus touched your life and how you were willing to do anything for him once you had the joy of sins forgiven and you couldn't believe the new life he brought you into. Go back and remember that and renew the power of first love. It's so wonderful. The Apostle Paul, 30 years after his conversion, is still living in the power of that heavenly vision. Converted AD 33. It's AD 60 now. And he's still talking about that heavenly vision. And he says, King Agrippa, 30 years have gone by. My zeal has not waned. My spirit, my fire for God has not diminished. I still walk by the power of the heavenly vision God gave me. Well, what is the heavenly vision? Two things and a third. Number one, to reveal his son in me. Not just to me. Give me the knowledge about the Lord. Let me learn some things about Jesus and the Bible. He said the vision is to reveal his son in me, Galatians 1, 15 to 16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. He says this was another realm altogether. But the first thing God wants to do, the heavenly vision, Paul says, is to reveal his son in me. Again, not just to me, but in me. That Jesus Christ begin to be revealed in our lives, his nature, his manner, his spirit, Christ's likeness, to be like Jesus. That's the first and foremost part of this vision. That we desire to be like Jesus in everything, all day long, everything we say, everything we do. My, this is something to be occupied in it, isn't it? To be occupied in this, that Jesus be revealed in me all day long, every situation. And when I find that he isn't, I correct myself and say, Jesus, you weren't living through me right now. I was living through me right now. It wasn't the divine nature that was coming forth. Well, maybe it was human nature. But even worse, the flesh nature. Human nature. Christians can live by human nature, even as worldly people do. Nice nature. Compatible, friendly, decent. But it's not the divine nature. It's not living the Jesus life. It's not living with Christ being revealed in our spirit, in our attitude, in our words, our faith, our response. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives in me to reveal his Son in me. And so I'm monitoring my heart all day long and my life all day long. Is Jesus being revealed through me? His life, his spirit, his goodness, his words, his encouragement, his blessing, his prayers. Christ living in me. Paul says the first part of the heavenly vision that I saw was God came to reveal his Son in me and to manifest him through my life. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, the first and the second and the millionth and the hundred millionth and on. Where are we in that line? But the Bible says that God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that Jesus Christ would live through us, that we would rise in the image of Christ more and more from glory to glory. That aspects of our life that are not yet conformed to that image of Christ, and we say, Jesus wouldn't talk like that. Jesus wouldn't react like that. We say, Lord, I need more of Jesus being revealed in me and through me. Christ who lives in me, come forth. Second part of the heavenly vision, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That was the call on the Apostle Paul. Again, Galatians 1:16, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, a call on his life. And it speaks of every one of us. Jesus, what do you want me to do? A call on every one of our lives, a vocation, a service, a life's work. God comes to give every one of us vision. He wants to put a vision inside every person. Now, the first part of the vision is, Jesus be revealed in me. I want to live for you all day long, before men, before people, in my home, in the house of God, at my workplace. I want you to be revealed in me. But Lord, there's also something you've given me to do. You've given me a life's work. How do you want me to serve you in this world? God wants to give every one of us a vision of what to do. Now, maybe life has had some difficult twists and turns for you, and things that you had planned and envisioned have just fallen. You're not alone and you're not on your own, because Jesus Christ comes to take you right at that point where you surrender and you say, I want to serve God with all my heart. Jesus said, listen, I've got a vision for you. It's not over. Your life hasn't been destroyed by anyone. By other people. I will take you right now and I will put a vision inside of you to reveal my Son in you, and also to give you a place where you can work and serve and be fulfilled in my kingdom. Habakkuk 2:1-3. Habakkuk said, this perplexed prophet at the circumstances of his life and times said, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what God will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, be patient. Wait for it. Let it unfold. Let it come forth, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. We can't get ahead of God. No one can go faster then the will of God will carry him. And when we try, it's to our hurt, detriment, and sometimes ruin. Habakkuk says, I'm going to stand my watch. I need direction from God. I'm perplexed. I'm out of sorts. I don't understand things concerning my life and even the times I live in. Like Habakkuk, we need to go into the watchtower of prayer and begin to wait on God and wait on God until he comes and speaks to us. Do you see where it says? And sometimes he'll correct us. And we need to be open to that too, the correction of the Lord. But then it says, then the Lord answered me, not somebody else. Me. That's how personal God is. God answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Habakkuk, I'm giving you a vision. And Habakkuk took that vision and he began to write it and he began to read it and he began to run and he served the living God. Hallelujah. God wants to give every one of us a vision. Lord, what do you want me to do? And if you're a little perplexed tonight about what you should do, go into the watchtower. Go into the watchtower with God. Go up into his presence. Don't give him 2 or 3 or 5 minutes. Say, Lord, I'm going to wait on you for a season of my life. It might be days or weeks. I'm part in the midst of all my other activities. I'm going to wait on you until I hear a word from you. This is how I want you to serve. This is the call on your life. Maybe it's a vocation. God will stir something in your heart over time and a vision and a direction. Lord, what will you have me to do? The heavenly vision includes this part of our life. It's as important as the first part to reveal his son in me, but also to know what to do. And God has a place for us. I'm reminded of Peter when he looked over at John one day and said, Jesus, what will this man do? Jesus said, that's irrelevant to you, Peter. Follow thou me. I've got a call for every one of my disciples, and you need to listen and walk and obey and serve me in your calling. Hallelujah. The heavenly vision. Well, number 3, look to the reward. Look to the reward of the Lord. Hebrews 11, 24 to 26, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, there's a time when we have to become of age. And you're not a child anymore. And you're not a youth anymore in that sense. You say, I'm coming of age. I need to make some clear decisions for the Lord in my life. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. He had everything in the natural. Egypt. At its height, world power, finery, architecture, wealth. Moses grew up in that. But he said, I'm willing to suffer affliction. I'm going to go and identify with God's people. I'm going to become a Christian, and I'm going to give myself in with the vision of God's people. He said, because I look to the reward. Fashion of this world is fleeting. Everything I can give myself to in Egypt will amount to nothing in the end, dust and ashes. But if I give myself to God and serve him with all my heart, I will have reward. He looked to the reward. We need to look to the reward. God wants us to have a spirit where we look to reward. He knows we need incentive. He knows we need encouragement. And he said, if you will follow me, I will give you reward in this life, but far greater in the world to come. Matthew 6. Let's look at a few scriptures on reward. Jesus said, Matthew 6, 4, that your charitable deed, good deeds and almsgiving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. That's in this life. He will reward you openly as you serve people and are charitable, give alms, support to widows and orphans, needy people. Matthew 5, 6 and verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who sees, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You'll have an anointing on your life. You'll have a strength on your life. You'll have a clarity on your life. 6:18, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, the discipline of the flesh, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. If you give yourself to times of fasting, live a fasted life, there will be an open reward, Jesus said. The blessing of God will come on your life and be on your life. You will be rewarded. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Great reward. Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If you endure buffeting and persecution and criticism for the name of Christ, he said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Two others, Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Jesus is coming again, and he will reward every one of us according to our works. My, we should increase our works. Christian duty and help and prayers and worship and ministry, doing all we can. We're working for reward. God says, you're going to have great reward. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. These are great and glorious scriptures, and the New Testament has many of them. We should look to the reward. We should look to expectation of the future, even in this life, how the Lord's going to reward me, how it's going to unfold. Here and there you see it. That's the reward of the Lord. That's the blessing of God. But how much greater in eternity? You know, sometimes people say, oh, I don't care much about reward. I just want to make it to heaven. I like R.T. Kendall on that. He said, you won't be saying that. You won't be feeling that when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ. I just want to make it to heaven. I'm not really after reward. And you won't be saying that at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll be saying, why didn't I pour out more? Why didn't I give more? Why didn't I sacrifice more? Why didn't I serve more diligently, more fully? My Lord and my Savior and my King. Because now he's giving out rewards according to every man's work, every Christian's work in this life. Hallelujah. The reward of the Lord. Let's have the worship ministry come, and let's close out with Luke 17, verses 7 to 10. It's interesting that in the last few weeks, this scripture has been brought to me in conversation, and it's appeared in general. Jesus said, and which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not, says Jesus. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. I mean, this is such a great passage. Such a great passage. There are a number of lessons here. The first one, it's not often that we go beyond the call of duty. If we're honest with ourselves, it's not often we go the second mile. We have this in us as Christians, in our humanness, I only go so far for God. Not many of us go beyond the call of duty. I give Jesus so much. I'll give him so much of my time. I'll give him a Sunday morning service. But don't ask for more. Don't ask for a prayer service or something else. I'll pretend I don't hear you. I'll give so much, but that's it. That's the limit of my giving. I'll serve so much. I'll give my time, but that's it. It's not often we go beyond the call of duty. Sometimes we do, thank God. But Jesus knows how we are. He says you've done what was your duty. But it's not often you've gone beyond. It's not often you've gone beyond. Just say, Jesus said, you know, when you've done all these things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. What? This is Jesus talking. He says, when you've done your service, say, we are unprofitable servants. I've chuckled about this many times, and humorously I say to the Lord once in a while, Lord, I admit, you should have got more profit out of me than you have. I try, I serve, I give, but Lord, you should have gotten more out of me through the years of my life, but I offer you what I have. Lesson 3, Jesus doesn't have to thank you every time you do something for him or for his people. We can get that into us. I wasn't thanked. The Lord didn't do anything for me. I didn't feel anything after I gave my life to a certain thing. I didn't feel his presence in an overwhelming way, and on. Be careful, all of us. I speak to myself. Be careful of the I don't feel appreciated spirit. I'm being overlooked. I'm not being appreciated. Watch out for that spirit. The great news is that Jesus will thank you. He'll thank all of us, but he knows when to thank us. He knows when to reward us and how to reward us and with what to reward us, and so we leave that all with him. Well, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, said Paul. First, God said, I want to reveal my son in you. I want his character. I want the fruit of the Spirit. I want his nature. I want his words. I want his grace. I want his strength. Come out of your life, Paul. The heavenly vision. What will you have me to do? If we'll get into the presence of God and really pray and seek God, he will give us wisdom. He will give us a direction to serve him, where we can be involved, how we can make a difference, our worship, our prayer, our whole life being poured out for the Lord. He will let us know that we're walking in his will. And then as an added piece tonight, look to the reward, because God does reward his servants, and he wants to reward every one of us. And so we serve him. We do our duty. Sometimes we go beyond the call of duty. But we know who we are. So we surrender to him and say, Jesus, take these efforts of this life. Take everything I give to you and make it profit for your kingdom. And may you be glorified, both now and in eternity. Hallelujah.